know I'm getting ready to preach my first sermon as a 50-something. And let me tell you, when I was entering my 40-somethings, I didn't feel as good as I feel right now. 10 years ago, I was sick. 10 years ago, I was not feeling well. 10 years ago, there was days I could not get out of my bed. But oh, as a 50-year-old, I rose up early this morning, ready to give God praise, ready to give God honor, and ready to give God glory. I mean, you know, I can honestly say I feel better at 50 than I did at 40. And I give praise to God because He is the source of my strength. He is the strength of my life. And it's because of Him, it is in Him I live, I move, and I have my being. I would not make a step without Him, amen? Amen. Before I get started, I have to pause for a public service announcement. If your license plate reads Connecticut, Bravo Echo, for those of you who don't know the phonetic alphabet, that's B-E, the number is 80472, and if it's a Toyota, your lights are on. So please handle that. I know many of us in here have AAA, Geico roadside, USAA roadside, so you know, you'll get a jump, but we would rather you not have to go through that, amen? Amen, so if that's your car, please, ma'am or please, sir, please turn it off at this time. First, giving honor to God and my pastor and Lady Watts, it is indeed an honor to stand before you this morning. You know, I say this every time I'm here. You know, I feel like Prince Hakeem from Coming to America. I'm very happy to be here, amen. Amen. That's the original Coming to America. I didn't really like that second one. That second one didn't hit right. It just didn't hit right. Amen. I tell my kids all the time that Zamunda was the original Wakanda. You know, so y'all had Wakanda, we had Zamunda, you know, and so I praise God for just another opportunity to stand before you today. If I can direct your attention to, now praise God for the choir. Gloria and I, we have a good relationship and we communicate on a pretty regular basis. But I didn't tell her what I was preaching about this morning. But as I get into this sermon, y'all will see that song was a perfect lead into what God has given for me to preach to you this morning. So again, as I'm reading from Isaiah 40. And I'll be reading verses 28 through 31. Amen. I left my glasses, but thank God for big tablets so I can still see. You know, I broke my other tablet, and I got this new one as a replacement, and it's bigger. And I'm like, this is too big, but thank God for big. Amen. Because I can see. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you. Amen. So Isaiah 40, 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faint nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God. If I had to tag today's sermon with a title, I'd tag it this way. I don't feel no ways tired. I don't feel no ways tired. So as I was thinking about what I was going to preach about today, you know, Bishop called me and asked me to open up Black History Month. And so, as I was thinking about like a sermon that is appropriate for Black History Month, I thought about James Cleveland. And I thought about this song, and there are many gospel songs that capture the Black experience very well, but not many capture it as well as this one. I don't feel no ways tied. I come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me that the road would be easy, but I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me. I said, I don't feel no ways tied. I come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me that the road would be easy, but I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me. And as we look at our lives, as we look at our history in this country, Black folks more than any other folks can say, I don't feel no ways tied. We come too far from where we started from. Nobody ever told us the road was going to be easy. We don't believe he brought it this far to lead us now. And so although there may be times in our bodies that we're physically tired, we don't feel no ways tired. Sometimes we are tired of being sick and tired, but we don't feel no ways tired. Sometimes we just don't know what the end is going to be. Sometimes we don't know how we're going to get through another day, but we don't feel no ways tired. And you know why we don't feel no ways tired? Because in our weakness, his strength is made perfect. And in the weakest moments that we had throughout our history, it was God's strength made perfect in our weakness that allowed us to do the things that we did in this place. You know, as slaves on the field, I know there were times when our forefathers and foremothers were tired of picking cotton, were tired of doing the things that they was doing out there in that heavy, heated sun. But you know, the slave masters, they wouldn't let them talk to one another, but they allowed them to sing to one another. Because, see, they didn't want them talking to one another because they didn't want them plotting. But they say, you know, if we let them sing to one another, then, you know, a happy slave will produce more work than the slave that's unhappy. Oh, but little did they know we would use those songs to encourage us. Little did they know that those songs that we sung in them cotton fields in Alabama, in South Carolina, in North Carolina, in Georgia, in Florida, in Mississippi, in Tennessee, little did they know that those songs that we wrote and sung to one another back in those days would eventually lead us to our freedom. Oh, see, they thought they had us. But what they didn't know is that they did not have us. God had us. You see, so, you know, I know the title of the sermon is I Don't Feel No Ways Tired, but there are some things I'm tired of. There are some things that I'm tired of. You know, like I'm tired of those guys on the other side of the aisle from where I normally vote. I'm not going to, you know, say no names. DeSantis, Haley, Trump. Every last one of them got a problem. I got a problem with every last one of them. You know, Trump, you know, had the nerve to call white supremacists very fine people. Haley doesn't want to admit that slavery was the reason why the Civil War was fought. And then, as to not have made that big blunder, she doubled down and said America has never been a racist country. When the state that she was governor of, in their secession documents, the first reason they listed was slavery. And yet, she wants to say that America has never been a racist country. Now, we can have a real debate about whether or not America is still racist. We can have that debate. But don't you dare tell me that a nation that was founded on the premise that I'm only three-fifths of a person, don't you dare tell me that that country was not racist. Don't you dare tell me that the country in its founding documents called the Native American savages, don't you dare tell me that that country was not racist at its founding. Don't you dare tell me that a country that in order to end slavery had to fight a war, the bloodiest war in the history of this country, to end the institution of slavery, don't you dare tell me that this country was not founded on racism. In fact, I say this, America was founded on the isms. Racism, classism, and sexism. How do I know that? Because in order to vote in the original country, you had to be a white male landowner. So what does that say? If you're not white, you can't vote, that's race. If you're not a man, you can't vote, that's gender. If you're not a landowner and can't vote, that's class. So America was founded on isms. Now, have we come a long way? Yes, we have. Just like the song says, we have come so far from where we started from, but we cannot deny where we came from. If we are going to continue to make progress, then we have to admit where we came from so that we don't repeat the mistakes of the past. And right now, what do I see? I see us repeating some of the mistakes of the past, because rather than move forward, some people in government, some people in leadership want to move us back. Okay, I'm getting off my soapbox now. Back to church. And so as I said earlier, you know, the only reason why we can go through life being beat down and being, the only reason why we can go to jobs that don't treat us right, the only reason why we can walk down streets where the people don't really like us, the only reason why we can live in communities that have been disproportionately impacted by negative policies, the only reason why we're able to do that and still thrive and still strive is because God's strength is being made perfect in our weakness. And so I'm going to talk to you a little bit about God's strength, and then I'm going to sit down and shut up. So God's strength is manifested in, I'm going to identify three ways that God's strength shows up in our life. The first way that God's strength shows up in our life is God's passion is unyielding. God's passion is unyielding. What does that mean? That means that God's desire for us to do well, God's desire for us to be well, God's desire for us to have, God's desire to for our lives to be the very best lives that they can be, it does not stop. It goes from day to day. What does the Bible say? The Bible says, new mercies I grant you every day. That speaks to an unyielding passion by our God to want to look out. Because what does he does? He looks beyond our faults and he sees our needs. That speaks to a God who is passionate about the well-being of his people. It speaks to a God that is passionate about, you know, his people doing well. It speaks about a God who's passionate about tomorrow being better than yesterday. Because yesterday was better than the day before. The old folks used to say it like this, every round goes higher and higher. You know what's funny is I'm becoming one of those old folks. Because I hear myself sounding like my grandmama more the older I get. I hear myself, you know, sounding like my grandmother the older I get. Because when I look at Big Mama, a woman who died with just an eighth grade education. A woman who grew up in Jim Crow, Mississippi. A woman who, until her dying day, sported a scar on her lip from abuse that she had suffered. But this woman had this belief in God, that God, he sits high and he looks low. This woman had this belief in God that prayer changes things. This woman had a belief in God that no matter how bad it looks, God can turn it around for your good, because all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. You know, my grandmama's favorite song was, "The Lord will make a way somehow. Wind beneath the bow, I brow." Now, I'm bad with words and hymns. I remember everything else but hymns. But he will take away each sorrow. So let him have your burden now. When the road be down so heavy, I'm done. But what I know is the Lord, he will make a way somehow. I said the Lord will make a way somehow. I said the Lord will make a way somehow. Because he has a passion that is unyielding. The second way that God's power shows up in our lives is God's perception is unanimous. God's perception is unanimous. Now, some of y'all may think it's a bit curious that I'm speaking about a unanimous perception, and I'm only speaking about a singular object. You know, Deaconess Betty Jo Williams, the great English literarian, would tell me that, you know, your subject and verb must have agreements. That is the foundation of sentence building principles. Your subject and verb must first have agreement before you build anything else. So if your subject and verb doesn't have agreement, then you can't even build a proper sentence, because the sentence can't be proper until they, how can two walk together unless they agree? So how can a subject and verb be in the same sentence unless they agree? So it may appear to be curious that I'm using unanimous, because normally unanimous means that more than one person agrees on something, right? You don't normally have a unanimous verdict with just one person. It's because one person's opinion is just one person's opinion. I tell people all the time, I have a lot of odd moles, one black man opinions. I have a lot of them. And I qualify, you know, when I'm about to say to y'all, you know, I there's no basis in fact. It's just what I believe because of what I've seen and what I've heard over the course of time. So this is not a fact. This is an odd mode. This is one black man's opinion. But when I say that God's perception is unanimous, because see, God has a way when what God sees and what God believes and how God interprets what he sees. When God sees it a certain way, then God has a way of engineering the cosmos to agree with him. You see, the reason why we say that one yes from God is all you need is because one yes from God, it trumps every no. And I use that word on purpose. One yes from God trumps every no. I'm going to say it one more time. One yes from God trumps every no. So every time God says yes, it doesn't matter who says no. When God says yes, it is your time. It doesn't matter who is trying to hold you back, because God's yes trumps every no, because God's perception is unanimous. And when God says something, it is going to be something. We sing a song that says it a little bit like this. What God has for me is for me. And can't no devil in hell take away that which God has for me. You know, in my own life, I have come to understand some things about God. And one of the things that I've come to understand about God's ability, God, you know, one of the reasons why I can say so ardently that God, strength is made perfect in weakness, is because every time I stand behind a sacred desert, y'all have heard me refer to this many, many times before. Every time I stand behind a sacred desert, whether it's this one or at any other church in the country, it's an example of God's strength being made perfect in weakness. You see, if y'all know me, you know, people who talk to me on the phone, you know, and call me, they'll tell you that if you call me for a phone conversation, you better have a little bit of time on your hands. You better have a little bit of time on your hands, because, I'm going to get some sideways looks. I know how you sisters like to look at brothers sideways when they say something you don't quite mean. You know this look. You know, so I may get some sideways looks when I say this. I may get some other looks when I say this. But I'm going to say it anyway, because it's the truth. My first 12 years here on earth, I was shy. I was a shy brother. And the reason why I was shy, because I had this horrible speech impediment. And, you know, kids, well, you know how mean kids can be. Kids will make me talk just so they can laugh at me. Hey, Luther, say this. And then they laugh at me, right? Because, you know, like, the words I had the most problems with was the words that had the R sound in the middle, especially if those words had more than one syllable. So, or if there was other sounds after that, you know, if it was like a compound sound or whatever. So, say I like the girl, this is how it would sound. Because I was cool still. I just couldn't talk, but I was still cool. You know, I walk up. Hey, girl. You want to be in my world? And she's like, no. You can't talk. So I make that statement so often because I have a firm understanding that God's strength is made perfect in weakness, because the fact that I'm able to talk to you right now, a boy who couldn't talk now gets paid to talk. God's strength being made perfect in weakness. And I'm a sought-out trainer at work. When somebody needs to be trained, they call on Luther Cornelius Wade III because they know that this brother can train a person. Because, and one of the reasons why they know, they say, I talk well. And so God's strength was made perfect in my weakness, because I understand that every time I get up and preach, every time I get up to speak, it is not my power, but it is the Lord's power that has empowered me to do the things that I do. So that's why I know that his perception is unanimous, because see, God knew when I was born that I was going to be a preacher. And so the devil tried to disrupt my ability to talk. The devil tried to say, nope, he's not going to make it. He's not going to be what you called him to be, because the boy can't even talk. But God said, no. I called this boy to be a preacher, so I'm gonna give him help. See, that's why we look up to the hills where it's coming our help, knowing all our help coming from the Lord. You see, so God gave me help. And so from first through sixth grade, I saw a speech therapist every single week. And then by the time I left elementary school and went to junior high school, guess what? I'm on the student senate. Eighth grade, student council president. Class president. And what got people to believe in me, what got my fellow students to vote for me, was my ability to talk. They said, Luther, when you talk, we just want to paint a building or something. When you talk, we want to go to the cafeteria and say, no, we want more Kool-Aid because y'all don't give us enough Kool-Aid. And Luther said, we should have all the Kool-Aid that we can drink. So his passage is yielding. His perception is unanimous. And the last way God's power shows up in our life is God's provision is unapologetic. God's provision is unapologetic. You see, he gives to those who he gives to, and he doesn't apologize because he has nobody to answer to. So he doesn't have to ask for permission to bless my Lord. Because when he wants to bless my Lord, he just blesses him. It's unapologetic. He doesn't have to ask permission to answer Elder Martin's prayers, because he has the power in all from heaven and earth in his hands. God does not have to ask for permission to bless Lisa Ken, Teresa DeBose. He doesn't have to ask permission to do those things, because God, he owns the world in the palm of his hand. The cattle on 1,000 hills belongs to God. And so God's provision is unapologetic. You see, some people don't want us to have anything. Some people don't want us to be anything. But it's not up to them. It's up to God, because God's provision is unapologetic. Now, there's an A, B, C, and D to this point that I just want to leave you with. You see, how does this provision show up in our life? The first way it shows up is we have an unlimited power source. You see, we have a power source that as long as we stay plugged into, we will be strengthened for the journey. We have a power source that comes from an omnipotent source. Our power source comes from an omnipotent God, a God who has all power. Our power comes from the God who raised his son from the dead. Our power comes from a God that sits high and looks low. Our power comes from a God that parted the Red Sea, that caused the walls of Jericho to fall down. Our power comes from an unlimited power source, because our God has power that knows no end. So the first way that his provision shows up for us is from an unlimited power source. The second, and then the text it talks about, he gives strength to the weak. The second way it comes out is an unbridled potential to soar. An unbridled potential to soar. What does that mean? That means regardless of what your circumstances are, you can rise above them. You see, in the text, it says they will mount up on wings like an eagle. And anybody that knows about the power of flight, of birds of flight, knows that the eagle has the most powerful wings in the bird kingdom. And so an eagle is able, so an eagle sees a storm. And the eagle sees a storm, he doesn't, or she doesn't try to fly under the storm. He or she doesn't try to fly around the storm. He or she doesn't try to get above the storm. But because of the strength of an eagle's wing, that eagle can fly right through the midst of the storm. Man make airplanes that are very powerful. But let me tell you something, them pilots avoid the storms as much as possible. You see, because, you know, as they said in one of my favorite movies, Coming to America, you know, man can make it, but I mean, man can build it, but only God can make it. And so the strength of an eagle's wings is so powerful that even in a hurricane, the eagle sees that hurricane and flies right through it. So when the storms are presented in your life, you don't have to run from anybody. There's a reason why when God gave us the armor, he didn't protect our back. The only part of the body that's not protected by God's armor is the back. Because he expects us to meet the enemy where the enemy is at. Why? Because we have ability to call those things that be as though not they were. We had the ability to whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth will be loose in heaven. So we don't have to be scared of no devil. We don't have to be scared of no evil. Because whatever comes up to us, God plus one equals majority. And because God plus one equals a majority, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So we have an unlimited power source. We have unbridled petition to soar. The third thing is we have unbelievable pace to stride. How many times have y'all gotten somewhere and couldn't believe how fast you got there? You know, there have been times in my life that I got to a place in a way that belies common sense. Show of hands, how many people in this room were the first generation of your family to graduate from college? And after you got done, and you look back over your life, and you thought things over, you can truly say that you've been blessed and you have a testimony. And why do you have a testimony? Because you realize that if it was not for God on your side, because see, those who come from generations of college, you know, scholars, they have people in their family they can call for help. They have people in their family who can help them, you know, proofread a paper. You know, they have people in their family that can help teach them how to do research. But when you're the very first one, many times the only thing you had was God. Because based on some of our ages, the professors didn't want us to make it. Based on some of our ages, most of the colleges didn't want us to be there. They was forced into Grayson. They got many of us into college in the first place. So you got whole systems against you, but yet you was able to study and get your degree. There were days when you was too tired to read another page, but God kept you up. There was days you was too tired to write another word, but God kept you up. There was days when it was hard to get out of bed to go to your early morning classes, but God got you up. There were days that you didn't know where your help was coming from, but God helped you anyhow. There was days that you wondered if your tuition would even get paid, but somehow, in some way, that bill got paid and you got your degree. Because so when you look back over the accomplishments of your life, you can look back somehow and wonder, Lord, how did it get here? And the answer is, it's him. You see, and the reason why the pace to stride is unbelievable is because just like the footprints author says, there are days in my life when I look back over my life and I see two sets of footprints. So Lord, I know in those periods of my life, I know you was with me. But God, there are other periods of my life I look back over and there's only one set of footprints. Lord, did you leave me then? He said, no, that's when I picked you up and carried you. Our forefathers and foremothers had to be carried over some of those bridges they marched over. Imagine one day, you know, having fire hoses deployed against you. Imagine one day having dogs sicked upon you. Imagine one day having police billy clubs, you know, hitting you upside the head. And then just a few days later, you decide to march across that bridge anyway. Guess what? That wasn't their power they marched across those bridges. The Emmons Pettus Bridge March was a result of God's power. God empowered our forefathers and foremothers to walk across that bridge because they was walking across that bridge with battered bodies. They was walking across that bridge with hearts that were heavy. They was walking across that bridge, you know, with bruised hands. They was walking across that bridge, but they walked anyhow. Why? Because they had an unbelievable pace to stride. Because their pace to stride was not given by them. It was not given by their own legs, but it was carried by our God. So we have an unlimited power supply, an unbridled potential to soar, unbelievable pace to stride. And the last thing we have is an unstoppable purpose to step to. You see, the reason why we keep walking, because there's purpose attached to our lives. The reason why you're still here, because God still has a place and a plan for your life. And he did not keep you here to sit down. He kept you here to keep stepping. You see, the thing about what I love most about this text is this text speaks about endurance. You see, because the person in this text starts off by flying. Then, after flying for a little while, the text speaks about the person running. Then after running for a little while, the text speaks about the person walking. So what does that tell me? That tells you it doesn't matter how you feel in the morning, you can at least step. No matter how tired you are, you may be too tired to run, but you're never too weak to step. So just step. Why? Step because you have purpose attached to your life. Step because there's somebody coming behind you that needs you to break a door right now. Step because there's a person behind you that needs you to break through that glass ceiling right now. Step because you need to make a way for somebody coming after you that wasn't made before you. Keep stepping. You have an unstoppable purpose to step because God has attached to your life purpose. And if those before us had ever stopped stepping, if those before us had ever stopped marching, if those before us had ever stopped singing, stopped challenging, if those before us had ever stopped the fight, where would we be right now? Black people come from a people that jail did not stop them. Black people come from a people that death did not stop them. We come from a tradition of activism that not even a hospital bed could stop us. Threats on our lives, threats on our families. None of it stopped us. Why? Because those forefathers and foremothers of ours, they knew that they had to make a way. And like Dr. King said, I may not make it there with you, but I've been to the mountaintop. And so it was that mountaintop promise that kept our people moving from place to place. It was that mountaintop promise that kept our people going from glory to glory. It was that mountaintop promise that kept our people walking forward and never taking a step back. It was that mountaintop promise that kept our people moving in the right direction. You see, they put it like this in the song. They said, God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, Thou who has brought us thus far on the way, Thou who has by Thy might led us into the light, keep us forever in that path, we pray. Lest our feet stray from the places of God where we met Thee, lest our hearts drunk with the wine of the world, we forget Thee. Shadow beneath Thy hand, may we forever stand true to our God, and true to our native land. I ask you, my brothers and sisters, keep stepping. I ask you, my brothers and sisters, fly when you have to. Run when you have to. But when you fly, when you've flown as far as you can fly, and when you run as fast and as far as you can, just keep stepping. Don't never let somebody take your purpose out of your life. Keep stepping. Keep stepping because your grandkids have a future that you're stepping for. Keep stepping because your kids have a future that you're stepping for. Keep stepping because kids that you have never seen before, you will never see before, needs you to keep stepping. And I promise you, if you keep stepping, he promised to be stepping with you. Why? Because he promised never to leave you nor forsake you. That's the word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God.